seen the sky so blue. The birds are singing, I got nothing to do. Hey, hey,
hey, hey.
It is sunny day.
Sunny day now.
My pocket's empty, my cupboard's bare. But call me illogical, I just don't care. Hey, hey,
hey, hey, hey.
It's just a sunny day.
Hey, 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 it's a sunny day.
It's just a sunny day.
It's the KSL Greenhouse. Expert tips for flowers, trees, gardens, and soil. Our hosts are Maria Chaleos and Ton Bettis on KSL News Radio.
Good morning. Thank you for joining us for the KSL Greenhouse. We'll be taking your calls and comments in just a moment at 801-575-8255. You can also text us at 57500. Well, finally, people have been asking us for months whether they, well, not months, how about weeks, about whether or not they can start trimming their roses. And finally, it's time that they can do that.
It is. The last couple of weeks, it's been time to prune the roses, and I would get it done sooner than later.
Okay, so what are the tips? Where do we make those cuts?
With pruning, you always start with the dead and diseased wood. And by this time of year, you should be able to see, by bud formation especially, where the dead and damaged wood is, and that just comes out. That's the first thing you do.
Mm-hmm.
Look for anything that might have cankers or look diseased, and then that comes out also. Then you take a look at the rest of whatever it is you're pruning. And because there's different types of roses, you need to look at them individually on how that group would be pruned. And so Floribundas, Hybrid Teas, Grandifloras are all pruned similarly, to where you, after you get rid of dead and diseased wood, you take out anything that is really weak and wispy, and you want to leave about four or five main canes that are going to be pruned, depending on the age of the plant, anywhere from knee height to maybe thigh height.
Okay, so thigh height would be those that have been there for a couple decades.
Yes, and you leave that amount there because the pruning, because these will bloom all summer long, you prune them really hard to make them generate a lot of new growth, and they produce flowers off of the new growth.
All right, so you should always prune them in the spring.
You should. You do not prune roses here in the fall. In other areas of the country where it remains warmer, you know, California, coastal Oregon, coastal Washington, it's not as important if you prune them in the fall, just because they don't get cold enough for the roses to be damaged as nearly as much as they can be here. And so that's why sometimes when you read gardening guides, if you're not careful about the area that it's written for, you can run into problems.
Is there one thing that people do wrong when it comes to pruning roses, things that you see commonly?
Sometimes the main things are that they oftentimes don't take into account the kind of rose they're pruning.
Mm-hmm.
And if, let's say, you have an heirloom rose that only blooms once a year, one of the older bush roses, or even some of the heirloom, if you're growing bourbon roses or whatever, they only bloom once a year, and if you prune those in mid-March, you've lost your blooms. And so this knowing the kind of rose and when it blooms, and so if it only blooms once a year, you prune it right after it's done blooming, because those new flower buds for the next year are going to be formed within just a week or two of the old flowers dying back.
Right. I like the pictures that we have in the article that's up on the KSL Greenhouse Facebook page for you to check out. How about things like the climbing roses, though? How are they? Because they're different. They are.
And so there are ramblers and climbers. They've kind of differentiated them. And if they only bloom once a year again, you prune them back right after they're done blooming, so that they can generate new growth for next year. And so you just cut them back how you need. But the ever-blooming climbing roses are pruned again in mid to late March. And what you're going to do is you have your main structural canes, and then you have side branches on those. And you prune those back so that each side branch has about 6 to 10 buds on it. And what this does is it leaves enough enough of the buds there to regenerate, but it causes them, especially in the spring, to give you a lot stronger flush of blooms in late May to early June.
Most of the roses that I have bloom more than once. They bloom throughout the summer, but they don't like the hot, hot temperatures.
They slow down.
Yeah, slow down.
So temperatures above 90 slow them down. And so summer pruning, especially on the hybrid tea roses, is imperative to keep them going. And so what you will do is as soon as you see on a hybrid tea, the flower is spent, you follow the stem back to the first set of leaf, this first leaf with five leaflets. And so the roses, it looks like each little leaf is a leaf, but they're actually leaflets. And when you are at your first group of five, you prune it at that point. And within a month or 6 weeks, it'll rebloom. And so that's how you keep the hybrid teas going through the summer. Now, there are many new bush roses that just bloom profusely, especially in the spring and fall, but even through the summer. The Knockout series is one. The Mediland has a few of them. But a lot of these newer bush roses only get 3 or 4 feet. And so because they are ever blooming in the spring, you use renewal pruning and just take out 20 to 25% of the branches toward the base of the shrub. You want to wear a good thick jacket and leather gloves because they have thorns. But if you take a third of the roses out, 20 to 30%, and then just give them a light haircut, that will keep them blooming most of the summer.
The thick jacket is imperative. Long sleeves don't do it. I mean, I always look like I've been in a cat fight.
Yeah.
So those scratches.
A leather jacket or something that is the thick canvas or something that the thorns cannot go through.
What is the life of a rose bush? I'm going to say my roses, most of them have been in for 30 years.
Roses in Utah last quite a while just because we have fewer diseases here that would hit them. Say in Louisiana, Mississippi, you're lucky to get 4 or 5 years because they're so disease prone and those climates.
Because of humidity. Humidity, yes.
And so it's very common for roses here to live anywhere from 10 to 50 or 60 years, depending on the variety. Some of the old fashioned roses that only bloom once a year can oftentimes live for 50 to maybe 100 years old.
But you're making me think, though, I should check out some of the newer roses to see
what
I'm missing.
There are so many good roses out there. Some of the newest shrub roses, especially, are really low maintenance, fairly disease and pest resistant, and besides just giving them a general haircut in the spring, they're wonderful.
Yeah. What about special prune? What kind of pruners do you use when you're trimming rose bushes?
I have a pair of loppers. I use one of two or three companies' pruners. I like a company called Bahco. It's B-A-H-C-O, and they're a French company. And they build contractor-grade pruners that everything is replaceable and hand shears. Then another company called Felco, which is a Swiss company that I like them even better than Bahco. And so I love Felco pruners. And then the third one is one that's a little less expensive but really good called Hickok. The only place I've seen them are at IFA.
Okay. Anything else you wanted to add?
That's about it. But look up some fact sheets on rose pruning. We have a great one. It's not difficult once you start reading a little bit about your roses, but you'll just increase your blooms incredibly if you do some pruning.
Yeah, and there are great pictures on this fact sheet that we put up on the KSL Greenhouse Facebook page. So if you're wondering about those five leaflet leaves that Ton was talking about, you can see those specifically. We're going to come back with your calls and questions. Gary, you're on the line. You'll be up next. Number to call, 801-575-8255, or you can text us at 57500. Good morning. Thank you for spending your Saturday morning with us, the KSL Greenhouse. Maria and Ton with you, taking your calls, 801-575-8255, or you can text at 57500. Gary is on the line in Bountiful. Good morning, Gary. What was your question?
Good morning. I have two quick questions. I have Weber water, and I assume that that's what's bringing in some clover and what I've been told is oxalis. And I haven't had real good success being able to control that. Any suggestions?
Well, there's not like an evil henchman that's dumping oxalis and clover seeds into the irrigation. You know, it's down the line somewhere. It actually comes in through the wind comes in through contaminated plants, contaminated seed, but the clover and oxalis isn't native and isn't coming in from wildland areas. The seed's probably being blown in, though. So okay. As far as products that will do a good job at controlling that, anything that contains triclopyr, and so that's spelled T-R-Y-C-L-O-P-Y-R, so triclopyr. And so there is a product made by PBI Gordon called T-Zone that has it in there that you could try that seems to do. You may need to spray again for a couple of years in the spring and fall. And so are you out in the wind or something? We're getting a lot of feedback on your phone.
So go ahead, Ton. I had him bring it down so you okay. could actually answer his question without hearing the wind.
Yeah, so the T-Zone is one, but other products containing triclopyr would be another one, would be Terflon ester. But the triclopyr does a pretty good job against clovers and also the oxalis. But he would also probably want to use a pre-emergent containing isoxaban, which used to be sold as Gallery or Galleria. There's many of them out there.
All right. Gary, are you still there or did we lose you?
No, I'm still here.
Okay, good.
Second quick question. I have raspberries and the kind that bear in the spring and in the fall. And I really haven't done anything in terms of fertilization, and they seem to be doing fine. But is there something I should be feeding them with?
No. If you're getting good production and they're healthy, I wouldn't do a thing. Sometimes fertilizing okay. them can actually reduce the fruit load.
Great. Thank
right,
you
Gary,
very much.
Thanks for your call this morning. Next listener, Ton, would like you to talk about Bermuda grass a little bit. They say they know it's used in some places. If it has infested the lawn, is the only way to get rid of it to kill it and dig it out?
No, I actually wouldn't dig it out. There's a few products. That Terflon ester I just mentioned is registered for Bermuda grass suppression mm-hmm. and eventual control. And then there's another one made by BioAdvanced, which is formerly Bayer, but it is called Bermuda Grass Control. It just got a really straightforward name. So you need to find somewhere that carries a lot of the BioAdvanced products, not knowing where they're at, you know, J&J Nursery, maybe IFA or some of the other local independent garden centers.
Yeah, so their intense root system makes it not a great idea to
Yeah, and when you pull them, especially if they're not dead, every time you fill a pop as you're pulling that Bermuda grass up, you've just created a new plant.
Oh, my.
They can then start sending out the runners.
Awesome. Next listener says, if the Glacier tomato seed packet says 56 days to maturity, is that 56 days from the transplant date or from germination?
It's just a general thing. It's not going to be 56 days because it just isn't. So once you seed those, in theory, it's supposed to be 56 days after seeding, but temperatures have a lot to do with it. You know, if it's too hot, too cold. And so the soonest we usually get tomatoes, especially if you start them 6 weeks ahead, put them out in mid-May, is going to be mid-June. You can do some things to make them earlier, you know, walls of water sometimes and some other things like that. But usually mid-June, that's going to be the absolute earliest, and it's usually into July.
What is salt grass?
Salt grass is just a... it could be a lot of things.
Well, this person says they've struggled with salt grass in their flower bed for years. How do they get rid of it once and for all?
Unless they live in an area with really salty soil, I don't know that it would be there. But there's an alkali grass that's really common in areas with really salty, strongly alkaline soil.
And how do they get rid of it?
Just a general lawn weed killer, but just a general grass killer or Roundup.
Okay, will that kill the other thing?
Well,
Roundup will kill other
everything.
Things.
So. But if the soil's salty or really alkaline, and it is alkali grass can be very aggressive.
Next listener wants to know, what's the best way to get rid of raspberries to replace them with a different variety?
Spray them out with Roundup. I would let them grow a little more, make sure that they're dead. but they don't want to go in the same exact place they had them before. If they have room, just make a new bed somewhere else, because you get a buildup of diseases in the soil that can impact the new plants fairly quickly.
Okay. Next listener wants to know when they should overseed their lawn this spring.
They can do it now. Birds may get some of the seed, but usually anywhere from mid to late April.
Okay. Carolyn is in Erta. Good morning. What was your question this morning?
Yes, we have been getting lawn area ready for seeding, but there's a lot of weeds. If I spray the weeds out, is that going to hurt the seed germination?
No. If you use something like glyphosate, like a Roundup product, as long as you wait the period of time, which is generally around a week, that seed will germinate just fine.
All right. Thank you.
You're certainly welcome. Thanks for your call today. Next listener would appreciate some recommendations for columnar apple and pear trees that do well on Salt Lake's East Bench.
I don't know of any columnar pear trees. There is a series of apples that are columnar that I am finding. I've been looking desperately for dwarf fruit trees.
Mm-hmm.
Everywhere is sold out. And So I might have to wait for next year and order sooner. But colonnade apples, or they're just simply sold as columnar apples. Stark Brothers is one place I have ordered from in the past for a lot of dwarf fruit trees. But you can sometimes find them Lowe's, Home Depot, and local garden centers.
What is the best time and way to prune a Japanese maple?
The best thing to do is to not prune a Japanese maple. If you must, just follow the limbs back that are the offending limbs and either prune them back at a branch intersection or at the trunk. But the more mature the Japanese maple is, the more of a risk of getting an internal rot disease at the pruning cuts. And so you need to be careful.
Okay. Number to call with your questions, 801-575-8255. Phone lines are open. You can also text us at 57500.
The Greenhouse Show on KSL News Radio.
Good morning. Thank you for spending your Saturday morning with me and Ton. You can give us a call right now. Phone lines are open at 801-575-8255 or text us at 57500. Getting back to our text questions, next person says they have a 50-year-old lawn. No matter how they fertilize, the grass blades grow long and skinny. And if they let the grass grow long, the blades lay down and start looking like colics. They're wondering if power raking and then overplanting with bluegrass is a good idea.
It sounds like they have annual bluegrass. Hmm. That's exactly what annual bluegrass does.
Oh.
And
so that's what the lawn is supposed to do.
Well, annual bluegrass is, for the lack of a better comparison, if Kentucky bluegrass was Jimmy Carter, annual bluegrass would be Billy Carter.
Oh, boy.
So annual bluegrass is a weed. And yeah, so if you're not over the age of 50 or 55, you won't get that. But the annual bluegrass is just... Or if you have ever seen Twins, annual bluegrass is Danny DeVito, and Kentucky
back,
bluegrass
you?
Is
let it go.
No, is Arnold Schwarzenegger. Okay. So it's just not a great turf grass because it lays down, it's disease prone. But sometimes that's what you got. It's really common in shaded areas and also areas that have compacted soil that are overwatered. And so what I would do is look at the soil and see if you can fix the soil and maybe improve your drainage, dry the soil out between irrigations, but it's probably going to need to be killed out in those areas if they want to get rid of it and reseed it or resod it. And then once the grass is established, they're most likely going to have to use a pre-emergent in late summer because it germinates in the fall and early spring to see if they can keep it at bay.
Hmm. Okay. Next listener says, how long do they wait after applying a pre-emergent to put down lawn seed?
You have to read the instructions on the pre-emergent. It's anywhere from 60 days to a full calendar year.
Okay. And next person wants to know, what depth do you check the soil temperature?
I will stick this thermometer because they're usually only about 6 inches or mm-hmm. 5 inches long. I just plunge it in. But you want it a good 3 or 4 inches into the soil.
Next person wants to know, is it too early to put root stimulator on their trees like the Chanticleer pear, sycamore fruit trees?
There's no reason to put root stimulator on your Chanticleer pears. It doesn't work unless there's some new product, but you know, if they're going to do anything, if the trees have been in for a while, maybe some fertilizer, they're going to get a lot more benefit out of fertilizer because root stimulators that you can purchase are usually pretty marginal.
Next listener has a tough one for you, Ton. What vine would be good to grow over a white vinyl fence? Their back fence borders a schoolyard. They want to protect the fence from the kids, and the kids are always kicking it.
Boy, unless they can plant something on the side facing the school, it would be something that they would almost need to put a secondary fence in to keep whatever they were growing protected until it was up to size to protect the fence. But I'm looking at maybe barberry bushes because they're thorny and they might stay out of that. They could, and unfortunately there are not any dwarf.
Is there a liability to planting something like that where you know that there are school children?
I don't know.
I'm just curious.
Maybe. Like, maybe if a kid fell in it and got all cut up and there were medical bills or could be.
Hmm.
You know, and so they could just do a shrub, you know, something that's very fast growing would be something like the golden privet would be one they could plant that will grow 2 or 3 feet a year. They could maybe do some Isanti dogwood because it grows a couple feet a year and it would give them a good 3 or 4 feet, you know, away from the fence. The kids couldn't get to the fence after a while. And that might keep them from kicking it. But
well, the bigger question is, why do they like to run through them?
The bushes?
No, the vinyl fences.
Oh, they're kids.
Our poor neighbor just finally gave up and put up something that there was no possible way for anyone to run through.
Yeah. I mean, chain
link.
She
replaced it like 3 times.
Yeah. We have a horse breeder out in where I live that has these vinyl picket fences, and one of them is adjacent to a road that has a pretty serious slope on the edge of it with no shoulder. And he quit fixing it because there's every year 3 or 4 cars slide off and ruin the fence.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
But I mean, I think something that isn't thorny, that's fairly fast growing, I would look at golden privet or maybe Isanti dogwood or a variegated dogwood. Those will go 2 or 3 feet a year, and I'd plant them every 3 feet.
Okay. Next listener is having problems with not dog urination, but dog traffic, just picking a spot in the lawn that they're traversing. I'm wondering if there's anything they can do to strengthen the lawn.
They can try a turf grass called dog tough turf, but they would have to take out a section of lawn. It's a Bermuda grass that I'm not so sure is actually illegal to grow because it's a hybrid. And the way the noxious weed list reads, it doesn't ban it.
Hmm.
And it's not as aggressive. And so there's a movement trying to get some of the hybrid Bermuda grasses decriminalized or legalized here. But the dog tough turf might be one they could try. But if they plant it in their bluegrass, it will overtake the bluegrass.
Wow. Next listener would like you to go over the pre-emergent and aeration a second for them. They say once the pre-emergent is applied, then they cannot aerate?
No, it will break the barrier, unfortunately. And so if they need to, I would aerate now, even though the lawn's not growing at its fastest and best.
Mm-hmm.
And then after they aerate, put the pre-emergent down.
Okay. Audra wants some insight on growing strawberries indoors. The variety that she's trying to plant is Alpine strawberries, if that makes a difference.
My honest advice would be why?
Because she can.
But the problem is it's really hard, and it's almost because I can't. The strawberries are just not an indoor plant. You can start them if you have a greenhouse.
Yeah, I'm wondering if she
and
just
maintain
wants to
them in a greenhouse.
Start them indoors.
And that's different than trying to grow them as a house plant.
Okay,
because long
so what
term,
if she's starting them indoors?
If you're starting them indoors, it's fine. You could start them under grow lights if you don't have a greenhouse situation. And so you would just put them in to the flats and put them under grow lights for 6 or 8 weeks and then bring them outside. But long term, they are not going to be a house plant.
Okay, next person's asking about a product I've never heard of, Acelaprin to control bill bugs. When would they apply that?
Nice
South
pronunciation.
Georgia?
That one's not easy.
I was a guess.
they can get it down anytime by mid to late April. It's in Scott's Grub X.
Oh, okay. Next person wants to know if tulip bulbs can be planted now for next year.
No, not really. If you didn't get them in, you can try planting them and see if they form leaves, and then next year they will form a flower, but they may or may not form leaves at this point.
For next year?
For next year. They could be dead.
Well, they might not be.
They might not. So I'd plant them.
Okay, this is some, I planted some yeah. too. So I'm
so
wondering.
I would plant them and just see if they form leaves. Are yours forming leaves?
No.
So.
But I just planted them.
That's all you can do is see if they form leaves. And
I just figured it was better than just throwing yeah. them out.
And so it's always a risk. You know, Mike would say, oh, chuck them and just buy them again. But Mike. I'm a little more conservative. Like, oh, give it a try.
Me too. Give it a try. What can you lose? They don't come up, right? And we're going to take a break, come back with more of your calls and questions. Our phone lines are open for the last 15 minutes of the show here. You can call us at 801-575-8255. You can also text us at 57500. Thank you for spending your Saturday morning with the KSL Greenhouse. Maria and Ton with you, taking your calls and questions. Next texter, Ton, has three very large mulberry trees in their front yard. They're 30 to 40 feet high. They're pretty much tearing up the lawn with some of the roots actually 3 or 4 inches above the grass at this point. They are wondering if they can put 3 to 4 inches of soil over that and then maybe resod. Is there any sort of solution? They like the shade from the trees, but they don't like it tearing up the yard.
This is the problem with fast-growing shade trees, is they have a lot of surface roots. Mulberries,
they just cut it out? Will
no,
that kill the tree?
It will damage the trees and make them less stable. And so the best I could tell them to do is to go out 6 or 7 feet in any direction from the trunk and just put bark mulch down. Oh, don't put weed fabric, but just bark mulch, and just sacrifice those areas for the tree trunks as for those surface roots. But even 10, 15 feet from the tree, you can get some surface roots under the mulberries. But of fast growing trees, the mulberries are some of the least offensive of them, I guess.
Wow. Next person wants to know when you should remove the white tree wrap on new trees.
Now is fine. They should be, if they're new trees, they should be wrapped in the fall sometime late October, early November, and then that wrap should come off sometime mid to late March.
Okay, next person wants to know, are there any secrets to planting, is it barefoot or bare root red cedars?
Bare root. The autocorrect
okay.
got them.
Autocorrect got me, too. They tried potting soil last year and lost half of what they planted. They're trying again, putting in 1 gallon containers. Plants are about 12 inches tall.
I wish we had a call so I could be a little bit more specific, but usually if half of them died, it was probably because they dried out. Mm. It is really hard to keep those outdoors in gallon cans sufficiently watered. They would need to water them daily.
Okay.
And it's just something that it's not as easy as it seems. And that's why at the garden center, a 1 gallon finished arborvita, which is another name for red cedar, a finished arborvita in a gallon can cost you $10 or $12 because of the difficulty of keeping them watered and things.
Next person wants to know, when should they prune their grapes?
Sometime now, between now and mid-April, I think Mike Caron, our grape specialist, started his last week.
Okay. Daniel's on the line in West Jordan. Good morning, Daniel. What was your question?
Hi. I'd like to find out what to do with... I've got an old lilac. It's probably 30, 40 years old. And I need to prune it, but I've got a lot of dead wood. We just moved in. I got to prune the dead out, but it's everywhere, and it's also covered in ivy, and I got to get rid of the ivy, and I'm not sure how to do both.
Well, I mean, you do have the option of just getting a chainsaw out, cutting it 18 inches above the ground, and letting it regrow. It won't flower for 3 or 4 years, but that is an option, and that would get rid of the ivy. Now, if the ivy has seeded inside of it, then that's a different issue.
We've got ivy all over in that section.
Do you find rooted ivy inside the bush?
Yes.
So this is going to be difficult because that ivy, you're going to have to pull the vines off of the branches, but not sever them from the ground and clip mm-hmm. them and just get a little paintbrush with a bottle of concentrated Roundup or Kills All. And when you clip those, you just dab the very end. Now that will stay in the roots and won't get into the soil, but that's the only way you're going to get that ivy out of the lilac if it is rooted into the ground and is growing up through.
It is. Oh boy. Okay.
All right, Daniel. Well,
good to know. Thank you.
Good luck on that. Next listener is Jada. Jada wants to know how you get rid of grape hyacinths and infestation of it. She said, what's the most effective way to keep them from coming back? And is it best to do it before they bloom?
Yeah, it is. But anytime you can go after them, there's one spray, I think Image All-in-One Lawn Weed Killer. I would need to check the label again, but it may only have the Star of Bethlehem and Allium, like the wild onion and mm-hmm. wild garlic on it, but it may. I would need to look at the label to see if the grape hyacinth's on there. Thinking about it may not be. But if you can clip them or mow them so that you have half the stem gone or the leaves, as soon as you do that, you can spray Roundup over the top and see if that will get rid of them.
Okay, Barbara's on the line in Mill Creek. Good morning, Barbara. What was your question?
Good morning. I'm doing my annual white tops bindweed. I've been working on it for 5 years, so I'm slowly getting it done. But now I have white tops that are underneath some aspen trees and some other trees where don't get much water, so I usually kind of leave it alone. But if I try to, let me back up. If I try to use what you told me to put on the bindweed, it's not getting the white tops. It kills the plant, but it doesn't kill the roots very well. So we're thinking maybe Roundup.
And if there isn't grass under there, Roundup does such a good job on white top.
Okay, and it won't hurt the trees at all?
Try not to spray the trunks, but no, it won't. And then I would use a surfactant or a spreader sticker with the Roundup or the Kills All, whatever you're using. They both have glyphosate in it. But use that spreader sticker, but Roundup does a fabulous job against white top.
Okay. And then we're trying to also put in a new lawn because the bindweed had taken out too much of the lawn. And so we're redoing the irrigation and all that. And we think we have it, but bindweed, you don't really know whether it's come until it's too late. So if the white top and the bindweed come up in a grass mix, is it going to overtake the babies?
It can. Of the grass? So I would recommend, as soon as you've mowed a couple times, read instructions, but that Image All-in-One Lawn Weed Killer would help. But eventually I would switch over if you kill the bindweed and it's just the white top, I would go toward like Ortho Weed Be Gone Max or Speed Zone or something and see if you can control the white top that way in the lawn.
Okay, squeezing one more question in there. If it keeps raining, will it wash away the pre-emergent?
No, it won't. The pre-emergent stays in place as long as you're not on a slope and the soil isn't washing.
Thanks so much for listening today to the KSL Greenhouse. I'm afraid that we are out of time, keeping some folks hanging. If you didn't catch us earlier, you can catch us on podcast at kslpodcast.com. You can hear the entire show. And the plant of the week this morning was the dwarf iris. And you can see and read more about the dwarf iris on the KSL Greenhouse Facebook page, as well as all of our other features that we covered this morning. I'm going to go plant some trees, Ton. You're headed out for a little trip.
Yep, taking the family to Universal Studios, so it's spring break.
All right. Next week, we do have a short show due to LDS conference coverage, so make sure you tune in early. We'll join you from 8 to 9:30 next week. Have a great weekend.